This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll get an update on the Allied Paper landfill site in Kalamazoo. But first, a look back on the effort to end apartheid in South Africa. Since Nelson Mandela died last week, he has been remembered for unifying South Africa after he worked to end the racially based apartheid system. Mandela spent 27 years in a South African prison and was finally released in 1990. Before he was elected president of South Africa in 1994, activists in the United States were calling for companies and public entities to pull their investments out of South Africa. Western Michigan University social work professor Don Cooney was among those who called for Western to divest from South Africa in the 1980s. Cooney says when the university's board of trustees did not take up their proposal, he and others decided to get arrested in protest.
When we came to the meeting, there were 13 armed policemen there. Armed! So we had over 100 people there at the meeting. And finally, they stopped the meeting. They tried to get an injunction from a judge to make a stop. And the judge would not give him the injunction.
Cooney says he was among 11 people arrested that day.
I had asked beforehand what the bail would be, and they had told that the lawyers we were talking to said, it'll be about $100 a person, but they'll give you like, you only have to pay 10% of it. So I had $200 in my pocket. So finally we were in a cell. And I said, okay, so what's the bail? They said $100. I said, okay, so 10%, right? They said, no, not for you guys. It's $100
it's each. Full freight.
So we got $1,100 and we had $200 in fines. So we just decided we're going to stay there. Within 2 hours, students took up a collection and bailed us out. So then they took us to trial. It took like 5 months to take us to trial. And the trial lasted 5 days. And we got letters from South Africa. And I could tell you long stories about the trial. But basically, we turned it into a trial about apartheid. To our surprise, at the end of it, the jury found us not guilty. Every day I would bring my toothbrush thinking I'm going to jail today. But within 2 months, the university divested. And that was in, I believe, 1981. And so we continued the struggle until Mandela was elected president for the next 13 years. Yeah.
And that included getting Nelson Mandela an honorary degree from Western Michigan University,
right?
Not after he was released from prison, but while he was still in there. And I've been told Western was well ahead of the curve in terms of American schools. He's, of course, received many honorary degrees over his lifetime. But Western was at least among the first five?
I don't know about how we ranked in that. We were among the first six for divestment. Where we were in giving him an honorary degree, I'm not sure. We were early, and a lot of people didn't want to give him an honorary degree because he was in prison. At that time, President Reagan was branding their organization as a terrorist organization. There were 300 American corporations in South Africa. But to President Heneke's credit, after quite a long struggle, he decided that he was going to fight to give him an honorary degree.
Why did you think it was important to give him an honorary degree, even though he obviously could not be there to receive it? He couldn't speak to the students. He was still in prison. Why was it important to do it then?
We thought everything that we could do to put the issue on the public agenda needed to be done. And we thought that here was a guy who was a symbol of this struggle, and that the university, for all that they say they stand for, should be standing behind this struggle, should be standing with Nelson Mandela. He was the symbol of the whole struggle. And that's what happened.
You had a chance to meet Nelson Mandela, right?
I did. When he was released from prison in 1990, he made a tour of 9 cities. And the first one he went to was New York. And he was going to speak at Yankee Stadium. The African National Congress worked in this country through an organization in New York called the American Committee on Africa. And the American Committee on Africa decided that when Mandela came to New York, they would invite anti-apartheid leaders from the country to meet with him. So I went as a representative of our organization on campus, SASO, South African Solidarity Organization, and there were about 60 of us. It was one of the great experiences of my life. I mean, here was the guy. He was the symbol of our struggle for the last 12 years. And here he was with us on his just released from prison. And it was really quite an experience.
So you had a role here as activist, but you also had the role of professor of a student who then went on to play a role in South Africa.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We had a student here named Leila Patel, who was a so-called colored from South Africa. And she had been an anti-apartheid activist.
Explain what you mean when you say colored.
When you were born in South Africa under apartheid, on your birth certificate, the day you were born, you were listed as European, which meant white. And they were 14% of the population. African, which meant black. Colored, which was a small, very much smaller group of people there. Or Asian, which was an even smaller group. That determined where you could live, where you could work, what school you could go to, and who you could marry. And she was listed as a so-called color. She was an extremely bright lady. And I got to be very good friends with her and her husband when she was here. And when they were going to go back, I asked her if she was going to go back into the struggle. And she said, absolutely. I asked her if she was going to join the violent end of the struggle. She said she would never do that. But she would never criticize those who did. So I told her and her husband to contact me if anything happened to her. So she wasn't back 2 months. And then her husband called me one day and said, last night they came in the middle of the night, knocked down a door, took her away, and I don't know where she is. So I called Amnesty International in London. And in 24 hours, they told me what prison she was in, what she was charged with, how to contact the prison and the Minister of Justice, and that she had not yet been tortured. So we swung into action here. Within a week, we generated 100 letters from the president of the university, from key people in town. Howard Wolpe was the chair of the African subcommittee at that time. And he sent those letters down to the Minister of Justice by diplomatic pouch. And she was, within a week, released from prison. I got a letter from her thanking us for that, but saying, you know, it wasn't so much that I got out of prison, but it was a symbolism of the struggle, you guys' solidarity with us. And after Mandela was released from prison and became president, they had to revamp the whole social welfare system in South Africa. And he put her, Leila Patel, in charge of revamping the whole social welfare system in South Africa so that a Western Michigan University graduate restructured the whole social welfare system in South Africa. I was in South Africa 4.5 years ago, and I connected with her and a couple of my other students that I had had from South Africa. And I went to a talk by her. And it was completely jammed with people everywhere. And she saw me standing in the back and told me to come down and sit in the front and introduce me to the people. But what struck me was how popular she was in South Africa and still is.
So maybe moving on just a little bit from the issue of apartheid, but the whole issue of social justice activism, trying to get things done. As you look back on this, are there some lessons that you take away from how all of that worked that tell you, you know, if you really want to get things done, here is the blueprint?
Right. There's a couple things about that. One thing, the apartheid movement was so clear. It was so clear. I mean, the racism was so clear. The injustice was so clear. It was easy to show people the injustice and move people around on that. Today, it's much more difficult. President Obama gave a speech last week in which he talked about inequality and the lack of mobility of people who are poor to move up. To identify the causes of that is more subtle and really has to be, and it's more difficult to organize around that. But what we learned from our struggle were many things, but a couple of them. One was the importance of solidarity. It was the international solidarity. I mean, the people from South Africa were mounting their struggle within the country. And we were joining with people in America and in Europe to be the outside force. And it was our people working together who were able to do that. I mean, the South African people are primarily responsible for their liberation, not us. I remember once we brought a speaker here from South Africa, and I was single at the time. And he was a labor leader, and I was very impressed with him. And I said to him afterwards, I said, look, I want to come down with you. I want to work down there with you guys. Put his hand on my shoulder. He said, my brother, we'll liberate ourselves. But you're here in the belly of the beast, and we need you to remove the obstacles so that we can win our struggle. So the international solidarity was one thing. The second thing was perseverance. I mean, it was a long struggle, and much longer for them than for us. But we even worked at it at 13 years. We were involved in it. So it's a long struggle, and you can't expect quick results. And the third piece is you got to be willing to take a stand and face the consequences. When I got arrested, I had not even finished my dissertation, and I didn't have tenure. So I presumed I was going to get fired. To my amazement, they didn't fire me and gave me tenure. But we were willing to face those things, and we were willing to take it because it was important for the struggle. So you got to be willing to put yourself on the line for the struggle. You got to be willing to stand with the people.
Why do you think you didn't get fired and were able to get tenure?
The only thing that I can think of, well, I think there's a couple things. I think the people in this that were teaching in the School of Social Work thought I was doing a good job with students and with the teaching over there. But I think the second thing is they did not want to make me a martyr. Because if they made me a martyr, that would have been an international issue and we would have had all kinds of people here screaming and shouting.
Don Cooney, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon. Thanks a lot.
Don Cooney is a professor of social work at Western Michigan University and also a Kalamazoo City Commissioner.